T-Mobile 5G internet keeps getting better. Boost your connection to harder-to-reach places with home internet plus and get internet right where you want it.
With Wi-Fi that reaches the attic, I finally have a home office.
Get a free upgrade to T-Mobile Home Internet Plus while supplies last. Home Internet Plus starts at $50 a month with autopay and any voice line. Check availability at T-Mobile.com/home internet.
During congestion, customers on this plan may notice speeds lower than other customers and further reductions using greater than 1.2 terabytes per month due to data prioritization. After $20 bill credit plus $5 per month without autopay, debit or bank account required. Regulatory fees included for qualifying accounts. $35 connection charge applies.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey guys, before we get started, I want to tell you about Dodge. This spring, the Brotherhood of Muscle is looking for new members, and the only way to join is to get behind the wheel of Dodge's only family of all-wheel drive muscle cars. The Dodge Charger, the only muscle car in its class to throw you back in your seat with 300 horsepower and still get 30 miles per gallon. You know, the Dodge Challenger, you know, the groundhog didn't see its shadow. It heard the rev of the most affordable V8 in its class. And the Dodge Journey, maximize your adventure with the most powerful third-row all-wheel drive vehicle in its class. And certainly the Dodge Durango, tear through April showers with the most powerful SUV with all-wheel drive availability in its class. Hurry into your Dodge dealership and start your introduction to the Brotherhood of Muscle. Hey guys, welcome to CarCast again. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea. We're here with Bill Goldberg.
Hey, hey, hey!
Every time I talk about, I talk to friends of mine, I'm like, hey, I'm doing a new show with Goldberg. Do you know what show with Goldberg? Everybody does.
Whoopee.
Goldberg, Goldberg. They do the chant. Everybody does the chant. And it takes a long time to do that on the phone, by the way, because they got to do it like nine times. Goldberg.
Yeah, got to let them get it out.
I'll take that as an honor.
Yeah, right? It's good. Yeah. Everybody's a fan. They know that from even from 10, 12 years ago, the Goldberg chant.
I paid a lot of money for all these people to be my fan.
Well, welcome back into the studio, buddy.
It is always an honor and a privilege to come and see you fine gentlemen and talk badass cars.
You're so sweet. You're so sweet to me.
I'm a good actor.
My very good friend, Tyson Sullivan, is here with us. Tyson's been on the show before. You've been on CarCast before?
I don't
Shift
know.
And Steer?
Shift and Steer. Maybe CarCast.
Maybe CarCast. But he's been on before. And welcome back to the studio.
Yeah, thanks.
He's one of my best friends ever. He's such a good dude. He's an actor. He's a handsome young man.
Oh, that's so kind.
And he and I go to all of these, wait for it, car events together.
I was just going to say, those kind of weird bars or something or what?
Yeah. We basically, like,
Talking about how handsome he is.
Here's the thing. It's like in the podcasting world and in the acting world, sometimes you're like, hey, man, I've got a few days off.
Or a few
like
months
90,
off.
Like 90 days. Like 90 yeah. days off. And then sometimes you're like, I'm working for 65 days straight, 24/7. Don't bother me. So we try to plan it around. Like we go to, you know, we'll go to Amicum, we'll go to Parrot Jackson every year. We do the Scottsdale auctions and we do the different car events. And we went out to Vegas and we did the Vore off-road experience with the trucks and drifting. And
that was so fun.
And we had a great time doing this stuff. So I was like, you know what? You should come in. We got to chat about some stuff. And you've got some projects and stuff that you're working on as well. But before we get into that, you guys got a new car.
Yeah, we did. My wife was due for a new car, and we looked at a few different ones. Ever since I've known her, she's wanted a two-seater convertible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
By the way, this was not planned. This came up yesterday when we were having lunch. I'm like, why don't you come in and talk about the new car? But
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. So, and she, dude, she's a smoking blonde. You know what I mean? So she should be in a two-seater convertible. And so we looked at all the different ones, the SLs and, you know, just different cars. And Jag had lent me a couple of their R's, their F-Type R's, previously
A couple weeks. I can't get away from this F-Type.
I know. And we drove the SVR. We drove the F-Type SVR, 575 horsepower, just screams
Stupid.
At the top of its lungs.
It's awesome. Awesome. Yeah. And so we went by Jag and looked at an F-Type and – we saw the R's, and I was like, babe, I don't know. That makes me a little nervous. Mm. So then we saw – they don't make the S anymore, but they put the S in a car. They just don't call it an S. Mm. So we ended up getting her one of those F-types. And
nice.
Every day she comes home, she'll come home with a big smile on her face, and she calls it cheap thrills. That's what she calls it.
So this is fantastic.
It's not that cheap, but
it's not that cheap.
Let's be realistic.
Good thing your sugar mom is making money over there, buddy.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But it's one of those things where she'll call me on her way home from work, and she'll have hit the butt. It's got the active exhaust on it where it'll get louder, and I'll hear it cranking in the back. I'm like, baby, let's slow it down a little bit. Let's bring it down a little bit, baby.
You know, there's a sport mode. I don't know if you even showed her what that is.
No, we haven't gotten to that yet.
Just an FYI, cheap, thrill for my wife is like a horse trailer. So I mean,
No. The best day ever was like when I went to visit and I brought an F-250 diesel or something. She bought it.
That's what I just said. Yeah, thank you, by the way. I appreciate that. Prick.
Great. I visited him. Yeah. He put me up. We went out to sushi. We had a great time, and it cost him $70,000 later.
Thanks, man.
To get the nice big truck.
That's great.
Yeah, but she loves it, right? Because, by the way, it's a big truck. It's fantastic. So
yeah, the Escalade doesn't get any service anymore.
So Whitney's F-Type. It's a beautiful white.
What color?
Beautiful white, yeah, white. With a black top.
But this is what makes sense, right? She's this gorgeous blonde in a white convertible, cruising around LA, always looking good. She runs this great agency. Can we talk about the agency?
Yeah, sure.
Because I know we're going to end up doing stuff with her at some point. Maybe, I don't know if she's doing stuff with history, but she has a design agency, a creative agency, and they do like all the billboards and social media ads for Netflix.
I got to talk to her soon.
And
she's impressive. She's way more impressive than me.
Join the club, man.
Not hard to be. Right?
We married up. I outpunted my coverage by like 7 football fields.
I love it. I say that all the time. It's great.
I think she's doing work for our chassis.com.
I think so. Yeah, yeah.
Film division. She's done some of the her agency's done some of the posters and social media banners for the documentaries that we have over there as well. So, a great, great agency and by the way, runs the company. Like, she and her partner just started this new company. You know, they left an agency, they started their own, and they're crushing it. So, so she deserves a new car. She deserves
she works
a
hard.
New fancy.
She works very, very
they
hard.
All deserve new cars because they put up with us.
That's
right?
True. That's true.
So,
and we're smart.
You've got some projects that you're working on, and you guys got a movie, right? You've been cranking away. And I'm all, like, I say this all the time. I'm all about learning the business, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like you need to learn like all aspects of something for you to be good at what it is. So if you want to be an actor, by all means, be an actor. But you should learn the behind the scenes business. You should learn what your manager does, what your agent does. You should learn to produce, to direct, or whatever. You don't have to make that your career.
Yeah.
But I think you should take a stab at it and understand what it is.
A healthy understanding.
Right? Like, I mean, would you agree? Or
absolutely. Right. No question.
You know, even
well, that if for no other reason than to make sure you're not getting screwed.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And so this is what you're getting into. You went out a year or two ago, and you did a movie with a friend of yours.
About a year ago, we're doing this film, and me and another actor, Billy Flynn, was up for an Emmy last year. Great, great actor, great guy.
Mm-hmm. A daytime Emmy.
A daytime Emmy, yeah. A daytime.
I always
How
do
many
that.
Daytime Emmys have you been up for?
I always bring that up.
Like, oh, just a daytime Emmy.
Yeah, it's only a daytime.
I know. He's just like, no, it's my Emmy nominated. A friend of mine was like, daytime Emmy.
how dare you?
He's not listening. It's all good.
Yeah, yeah. That's what you think. But he,
you're rough, dude.
We were doing this film, and you know, when you're on these sets, I mean, you know how it is. You get off set, you worked an 18-hour day, and your adrenaline's pumping, and so you just sit around the hotel talking about life and love and art and bullshit and whatever. And so when we were talking, you know, we were both kind of hitting up against the same thing. We were like, dude, I'm fucking tired of Jake Gyllenhaal taking all of our good movies. Like, every movie that like we want to do, Gyllenhaal gets it, or somebody else gets it.
So damn,
like,
Gyllenhaal.
Yeah,
Bradley Cooper,
how dare you? You know, we started just chatting on that, and so we started talking about story ideas and going back and forth and what really drove us, you know, as far as our passion for art and what we loved. And we came across just this story idea and started writing it about a year ago. And it's got all these, you know, pieces that we just loved from story, you know, just from our lives and experience and different place. I'm really, really excited. So it got picked up by amazing producer Rose Ganguza.
Congratulations, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. So we're doing that later this year. And we've been doing putting it together, and it's been really, really fun. It's great. I mean, you know, I think the goal and the dream has always been to make movies with your friends, right? Like, that's always been my goal. And, you know, to be able to see that coming to fruition, especially with a project that we're both so passionate about, is incredible.
And especially in such a business that isn't truly conducive to every project being wonderful to work on.
Sure.
It's great to keep it in the family and go out and earn your hay and have a good time at the same time.
Totally.
You know, another thing about the entertainment industry that I see even from an outsider, just being in the limited capacity that I'm in, is like so many other people decide your fate. Like so many other people green light projects or kill projects or tell you to do this or tell you to do that, that just don't have the vested interest in that project. It's such a weird industry. And, you know, we'll get into car stuff too, but it's such a weird industry where you're like, I've been spending the last 3 years of my life on this project. And then somebody you met for 90 seconds is like, no, not going to happen.
No, it is true. And that's what feels
right? Like, you know, it's exactly, and you feel fucking shitty.
Nah. You know? They just give you the nah.
All that for nothing.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what's so special and fun about this project is there's so much passion and love and art put into it that everyone that we brought on board gets that same vision. And I think, I mean, you know, from being on sets that that's not always the case.
Oh my God.
You know?
Yeah. On the contrary.
Yeah. It's very rare to have that. And so, you know, we feel like we have something special here. So we're pretty excited. That's about
awesome.
It.
Well, I'm excited about that. Yep. And, congratulations on that deal.
Yeah.
It's nice to be like, I wrote one movie and I sold it and now we're making it. Just think if I did two or three.
Well, that's the thing, right?
You know, look, even a guy like Sylvester Stallone, who a lot of success very early on with Rocky, he wrote like 40 scripts before he got that one made, right?
Yeah.
That's tough, right?
Yeah.
And he's not shy about it. He's got it like on his Instagram. He literally has like a pile from like 1975. He's like, this is everything I wrote.
Awesome.
And I made $13 a year before I sold Rocky.
Yeah.
And I had to kick and scream to be involved with my own movie.
Mm-hmm. What a wonderful success story.
Yeah. And he turned it into – and by the way, that's a guy with that normal sort of, let's say, kind of leaning to the left. Hollywood doesn't like a guy like him.
Yeah.
And he's amassed a $400 million fortune by doing it himself.
Sure.
And it's
like
funny because he's about your height.
Yeah. He is about my height. Yeah. He's a little older than me. He's a little more successful than me.
Well, I think that, you know, like to me,
I'm getting there.
The guys
I'm working
that,
on it.
He's, you're plenty of the stints in your shoes, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's one of those things where you're drawn, at least for me, I'm drawn to guys like that. I'm drawn to guys that have put in the work, whether
it
be on the acting side, the writing, even in any sort of job.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That have put in the work and been told no for so long, and they're like, hey, you want to keep telling me no? That's fine. I'm going to find a yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I love guys like that. You know, I have such passion for guys like Stallone.
So
characters built when you hit that wall. Mm-hmm. You got to reinvent, you know, your mode of operandi to succeed.
There's this weird sort of 6 degrees of separation between the three of us here, and it goes a little bit like this. Okay, a couple of years ago, I got a phone call from a friend of mine, sweet dude, Ed Justice Jr. He owns Justice Brothers. You see them in every Pep Boys and whatever. And he was sponsoring a celebrity stock car race, a big charity event down in Irwindale. He's like, hey, would you like to come down there, go around circles a few times? I said, yeah, that'd be fantastic. Let's do that. That sounds like fun. He's like, do you have a couple of other friends that would like to be in the event? I was like, yeah, I'll call Eric Valdez. I get Brett Davern, you know, and a couple people. And then we had Trisha Helfer was in the event with us. Mark Paul Gosselaar was in it. And Lorenzo Lamas, which is a whole other story because I flew helicopters with him. He taught me how to fly a helicopter. Oof. Yeah. I know you got a weird look, but...
I wouldn't do that with Lorenzo. I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, I'm still here. And but he was a great teacher. So I went out and we did this event, and I got to talking to Mark Paul quite a bit, and he is fast. That boy can wheel. And he's like, oh, you know, he's like, if you watch Supercross, motocross stuff, because the Gosselaar name is really popular because his brother's like one of the top crew chiefs of all time.
Oh, that's
there.
Cool. Yeah.
And I was like, that's right. That yeah. I didn't put the two and two together. And he was so fast and he won the race that we did. And then he came in, he did a show with us. We talked a bunch of times. And then I was like, you know what? I was like, I think you just did a movie called Heist with my friend Tyson. I don't think you all had scenes in it,
but you did a movie together. And he's like, yeah, we did do a movie together. And then also Batista's in that movie, right? And Dave Batista, obviously a huge star, but in you know, he had a little bit of a wrestling career there as well. He was fantastic.
Yeah.
And you became good friends with him from the movie. There's a sort of this 6 degrees of separation for that, and it was kind of a funny event. I think you first ran into Mark Paul playing hockey.
Yeah,
long after the movie, right?
Yeah, it was way after the movie. Yeah, we. I used to go out and play at this place out in Van.
Like, you know my little friend Matt.
Yeah, you know Matt. He's like, oh yeah, he's so cute.
Oh god.
But I ran into MPG playing hockey. He used to play with a bunch of guys on a Thursday, and he was just a good dude. We didn't like I said, we didn't get to work together on that film. But you know, film's a weird thing because you know people are like, oh, you were in this movie with this guy or this show with this. Are you guys close or whatever?
It's like, not.
I didn't see
you. You don't necessarily even see the person.
That's what I'm. No. Oh, they're in that. Oh, they're in the movie too. Cool.
And you don't even know if they're in it.
That's exactly. Someone will tell you that. Oh, that's cool. Oh man, I didn't know he was in that movie.
Yeah.
It's not like we all go in a room and it's like I'm here.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. There's no roll call.
That might be nice. We played hockey and you were talking on Batista and we were talking about
because you became pretty good friends with
him. Me and Batista, you know, he's still one of my good buddies, and I have so much respect for Dave. I remember talking to him, you know, and because I never really watched wrestling. It was not, you know, growing up. I remember seeing like Macho Man Randy Savage, and then I, you know, kind of didn't keep up from there. And so I didn't even know he was a wrestler. I just thought he was a big dude. And I knew he was in Guardians of the Galaxy. And I remember a couple things. I remember going out, and I've hung out with a decent amount of people who are, you know, pretty recognizable on a regular basis. But he got recognized the most out of anyone I've ever known.
By the way,
hands down.
The Robert De Niro's on this film.
Yeah, De Niro's in this movie.
Yeah, they're all in this film.
Kate Bosworth
is in this, this movie. And Batista's the one where people are screaming at the fence for him.
No, he is.
Well, I mean, we have to be honest here. I mean, we are a little larger than normal human beings, so we do stick out a tiny bit.
But also, it's interesting because, and you can speak to this for sure, but what you do is such a fan-based type of thing, right?
It's middle America.
You know?
No question about
it. But it's all about live shows and screaming, yelling, and being a fan of your favorite performer.
It's a cross between a rock and roll guy on the road and an NFL football player.
Yeah. And I would say the professional wrestlers have more accessibility than anybody else. You know, football players,
no question.
You could see them, but not just the signing events and things like that, but when you go out into the ring, it's all about just shaking hands and taking pictures of people and having a good time and performing well. But it's like it's all fans.
Yeah. It's amazing what the doors that can be opened by professional wrestling. No question.
Yeah. And you know, that's one of the biggest things I respected about Dave too, was he I remember talking to him and he was like, yeah, you know, one of the scariest things I ever had to do was to stop wrestling. He goes, because it's a guaranteed whatever. And he goes, I knew that it would be tough to transition or what. And to see his work ethic for acting and art, and for him to know, hey, there's some stuff I could learn here. You know, after being an incredibly successful wrestler, I mean, the work ethic on somebody like that's just, it blew my mind whenever I met Dave.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know Dave very well by any means. But I see the same type of work ethic that I possess in that, you know, once you're faced with a change, you redirect your focus, and no matter what direction that change is, you go towards it with 150% of your makeup.
Yeah.
You know, you apply everything that has made you successful before just to something else. When I made the transition from professional football to wrestling, I had absolutely no desire whatsoever to be a professional wrestler. I was a professional football player, man. I was paid to maul people. And do I really want to put my underwear on and go out there and act like I'm mauling people? You know, it was a different –
sure.
It wasn't an easy segue by any means. It was something I knew nothing about. But I knew how to be a pro football player, and I knew how to train, and I knew how to apply – everything that made me successful in that area towards something else. So I'm assuming he just used that ethic and did it. You know, he and like I say, I don't know him real well, but like he and Rock really love Hollywood. It seems to me. I'm on the other end of the spectrum. Podcast, TV show stuff, love it. Mm-hmm. Movie stuff just takes me away from my family too long. Mm-hmm. And I'm a little older now, you know. So I'm not into the reinvention thing at 52, 51. But it's something that was different. It was something that was new for me. You know, whether it be the Goldbergs, I'm on Wednesday again, or the Flash, or whatever we're doing, I'm really having fun with it. And, but it's like starting all over again. And there's a lot of, it's like walking up to a high dive and not looking in the pool. You know, you feel like you're 13 again or 14 or whatever, and you're making a decision that's going to affect the rest of your life. And it's tough. Even when you, especially when you've been very successful at your prior business.
Completely.
Because you have a lot more to lose. But, man, you got to put caution to the wind and just freaking go for it. You know, I mean, what do you got to lose
at the
end of the day?
Yeah. The transition from NFL to wrestling, I assume, is more difficult than from wrestling to a film and television.
Absolutely.
Career.
No question.
And obviously, you're older, you're more mature, you have a family, like you're making these different moves. You know, mentally, but I get it. It's just like when you're like, if you have a chance to be a professional athlete, NFL, like you've been doing that your whole life. Mm-hmm. Even if you're 20, you've been doing it for 19 years, basically, right? To become that, and then to make the transition or have to be forced to make the transition.
Maybe. I was forced. My accountant called and said, "You got to get off your ass and go do something." Man. You know,
right? It could be financial. It could be physical. It could be like, you can't do this anymore. You got to do something else anymore. Well, you're right. But to take that and look, in the entertainment world, you get what it is. You're funny. You're acting this. You're doing that. And now it's like, you know, putting on the tights and going into the ring. That's a character. You're doing a thing. And it's not – it's much different than going – that day you took the pads off and put the underwear on, right? It's a chance that's rarely
taken by normal human beings. Sure. You know,
and I loved I'll tell this quick story, but about Batista, one of the things that I really thought was so cool about him was how his first day on set, I don't care who, maybe not De Niro, but everybody else has a little bit of nerves going. It's like the first day of school. You know what I mean? I don't care who you are. You've got that, okay, I want to do
De Niro was like, Tyson's coming in, I'm nervous as well.
No, he's like, who is this kid? Get him off the project. That's what he was like. Everybody is, but everybody plays it cool. Nobody really spells that out. And I remember I was sitting in the makeup trailer and I was getting my hair cut or something, and Dave walks in and we'd rehearsed, you know,
he's
a couple
like,
days before,
seat,
so we
shorty.
Knew each other. Yeah, exactly. Right? Get out of here, kid. And he walks in and he puts his hand on me. He goes, "Man, Tice, I'm fucking nervous." And just his honesty in that moment, it showed me, here's a guy who at that time, Guardians of the Galaxy, was still in theaters and it was killing. Here's a guy who's in the biggest movie that's in theaters right now, and he has the honesty to step into this moment and be like, I'm nervous, man. I'm ready to rock, but I'm nervous.
And that's what incredible. I like and appreciate about him, is because it's not an ego thing by any stretch. Mm-hmm. I showed up the first day at the Goldbergs, right? And it's, you know, a very highly rated television show on ABC. And I mean,
it's got your name on it, by the way.
It's got my name on it.
Talk
about pressure.
You can't
Goldberg
screw this
finally
up.
Gets to go on the Goldbergs, right? Yeah. It's not as if I'm sharing the camera with, you know, newbies. They're all stand-up comedians, and they are pros, right?
Yeah.
And I had no, you know, I'm like a fish out of water, but I'm Goldberg. Everywhere I turn is my freaking name. So I felt I felt comfortable, but I felt extremely uncomfortable. So what I do is exactly what he did, but I do it even more so. I don't ask them to teach me how to beat somebody up, so I surely am not going to show them how to do comedy. I went up to Brian Callen instantly and I said, "Listen, dude, this is not my gig. This is not my forte. I need all the help I can get, please. I'm not an ego-driven guy by any means. I want to do everything I can to give the best performance humanly possible, because it's not my niche. It's not my area of expertise. And anytime I can learn a little bit, it's a positive towards getting better." And I feel as though he's probably the same way.
And that's such wise words. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you continually hear that from people that are successful, right?
You've got to let down your guard and be willing to learn, right?
You've got
to
be bad at something before you can be great at it.
That's right. And I think I went drifting with you once, and I'm fucking terrible.
The worst.
But I'm willing to learn.
Absolutely. And that's all, you know, especially in today's society, especially here in California, when everybody gets a trophy and, hey, it's cool to be mediocre. It's no big deal. Bullshit.
Yep.
Bullshit, man. Every day that I wake up, I want to be better than I was the day before, whether it's brushing my teeth or whether it's whatever it is. It doesn't matter.
No.
Because you want to go forward instead of backward. And to hear that other people who are very successful – excuse me. I'm not very successful – hear that other people who have been lucky enough to be successful are reinventing themselves in the embryonic state and going right from ground zero, the basics, and learning, you know, straight up from there.
Yeah.
So it's really cool. And, you know, I just like to throw it all out on the table because every day you can learn no matter what it is.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
I want to talk a little bit about
cars.
We're gonna talk a little bit of car stuff, but so this is CarCast, the cars and lifestyle show. Tyson and I went out to we went to this Vegas off-road experience thing. And
you were just talking about drifting.
Yeah, we were filming some stuff out there. Those guys are fantastic. That whole organization,
such good guy. I cannot speak. Every time one of my boys is like, "I'm going to Vegas," I'm always like, "Dude, you guys got to go to Vore.
Right.
Vore's awesome."
Yeah, everything in Vegas, you know what's going to happen, right? You know what's going on. I know they do that whole "what stays in Vegas," blah blah blah. It's like you know what you're going to do, right? You're going to go. You're going to drink. You're going to gamble. You're going to mess around. Maybe you're going to see a show. You're going to get hungover. It's like
horsepower.
Well, look, while you're there, drive out to the desert, and these guys, and they'll do any package you want. You want to just drive out there and haul around some trucks or drift, fine. But if you want whatever, like the helicopter to come and pick you up and fly you out to the desert and drift and
shoot machine guns.
Yeah,
and
so that's what we did. We went out there and they have like the little trophy trucks. They're rear mid engines and they're like 4-liter Ford Explorer engines in these little trucks. Mm-hmm. Full cage, got the body work and stuff on them. And we were filming some stuff, so we're just going out there and we're just doing – they have like a short track with the jumps and the dips and the whoopties and all the thing and the tabletop jump.
And, my spine is screaming right now.
Yeah, and actually they got, I don't know, some kind of like compression seat,
air
you know, or like on bungee kind of thing. It wasn't that bad.
No, it wasn't.
You know what it is? Because it's such a race truck, you know, there's dirt in your face and the truck is loud and suspension and all that stuff that you kind of – just get it out of your head that you're feeling this stuff. Everything is so visceral already that, you know, the next day you're like, oh, my back hurts a little bit, you know? but
mine hurts just thinking about it.
You know, but you don't really think about it when you're doing that. So we went out, we started off in the trucks and we did a bunch of laps and kind of raced each other, did a whole thing. And as always, like, you're out there and you're like, I'm the greatest truck driver in the world. Like, I feel like I'm getting air on this thing. And it's you know. And
then you see the video.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's just like,
you're right. And you're like, what the hell is that?
And the trucks have so much body lean, you know, because all that suspension travel. And you get into, like, some of the ruts and the corners. And you're like, I can't go. Like, I could – this truck can physically not go any faster. It will flip over. And they're like, I don't think you could go any faster.
Yep.
And cars have flipped, but you could go faster. So we shot a bunch of stuff, and we go back, and we're looking at it all. And then you do your TV thing where then we just sit in the trucks with the radios, and we yell at each other without going anywhere so we can get the audio.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, believe it or not, some of TV is fake.
Oh, no.
And
I thought it was real.
And then we're like, okay, well, now we want to get some shots of the two trucks very close together racing, but we don't want to do that because this is your gear and we're using it for free. So you guys do it. And the two, you know, like the owner and his one of the driving instructors goes out there and they do it. And we're like, man, there's so much better than we are. They're so much better than we are.
That's kind of what they do.
And they're so fast.
Yeah. I remember going out to Cabo and doing the wide open experience a la Bud Brutzman. Thank you very much, Bud.
Yeah.
And I take Gage, who's about 7 at the time, and we have to drive out of the town of Cabo out to the desert. And you talk about ruts.
Yeah.
And we're following the guy on the highway, and all of a sudden, you know, the pavement the level of the pavement's changed because they're putting new asphalt down. And I hit that thing and spun right in the middle of the freeway.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
What, shitty roads in Mexico? No way.
Jesus. Oh, my God. What? It flipped Gage out. He wanted out of that thing instantly, and we hadn't even started yet, for God's sake.
That's classic.
Yeah, so we went out, we did that, and then...
Well, and it shows you, too, you know, you said the good guys getting in the truck. It reminds me of stunt guys, right? Oh, like, yeah. You learn that pretty quickly on a movie set that, like, everybody's like, oh, I want to do my own stunts, and I want to do all that. Look, let them do it. You're going to look way better, because these guys know what the fuck they're doing. You know what I mean? It's the same way.
And we had that conversation because it was like episode one or two. We watched your DirecTV commercial, and I was talking about my friend Jeremy Fry, who drove for John Wick and all this stuff. And I'm like, this is why he does it, you know?
Yeah.
And he had to do that, I don't know, six times or something. Mm-hmm. And because he had, you know, there was like a 20-foot opening. He needed to slide a car through sideways while in the air, and by then it's 18 feet. You know, sure. So he's got 2 feet. He's like, I was so close, but then the bumper hit the wall, and I spun around and broke the wall of the bumper of the car. And I was like, he goes, but I was really close.
Yeah.
I was like,
I almost nailed
it. But not financially, you weren't close. Financially, you were way off. You know, like emotionally, yeah, you were really close. And your buddies are like, dude, you almost made it.
His adjustment will cover it.
Yeah, but somebody financially is like, you didn't make it. We could see you did not make it. You know, it doesn't go down in the ledger, but like, he was really close.
Yeah.
So after we drove the trucks, they have a big, just a big open asphalt area, sort of a skid pad area, and they got a couple of supercharged Roush Mustangs out there.
Oof.
Yeah, they're
and,
nasty.
And he's like, these are good. These are easy to drift because you can just do it with power. Just slam the throttle down and it'll go around. You don't need to do the, you know, the Scandinavian flick or whatever they call it. Or
Scandinavian
hit the,
flick.
Yeah, which is...
Get the tires... smoking in the beginning.
Yeah, so he's like, let's just do a couple, you know, basically like do a couple donuts, and then we'll turn it into a drift. And then for the life of me, I just wasn't doing it. And the guy's like, yeah, just throttle down a little bit here, a little more angle, good. And then we spin around. He's like, yeah, let's do it again, spin around. It's like, look, at some point I turn to him, I go, I'm doing
everything you
tell me to do. So I was like, do you know how to drift? Because I kind of feel like maybe you should tell me something different because we're not getting the result we need here, right? So maybe just stop saying the same exact thing.
Change a word or two.
Yeah. And it's like, let's mix it up because we know how to spin around. We've done that. Yeah. We know that.
Super fun. Yes. Love that.
Spinning around.
Let's do the next
thing. Crushed it, yeah. Right? But let's get to the drifting part. Couldn't fucking do it. Couldn't do it.
You were the worst.
Turn the wheel the opposite way, man. Where are you?
At one point, he's like, let's go left instead of right. And I was like, then I was like, yeah, but you're still telling me the same thing, but now you're saying turn right.
Yeah.
You know, so we did that. And then this guy gets in the car and, you know, three laps into it, he's like, I'm drifting.
Well, I akin it. I'm also a video game nerd, so I also akin it to that.
Like, and that helps a lot.
No, it really is weird how you can, like,
ask
with
Jeff
joysticks,
Gordon.
You can, like,
yeah.
You figure out that feathering part, then, and then it's just transitioning to your feet
it's
and
all
doing
it
the
is.
Same thing. It's really
that's how
interesting.
That's how I did the Viper Cup.
Because
I'd never done Road Atlanta before, even though I lived 20 miles from it. I'd never raced it before. And so I went through the track on a video game.
Yeah.
Time after time after time, and man, it helps so much.
It's crazy.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and the games are better than real racing these days, it seems like.
Well, they're a lot cheaper.
Yeah, they're a lot cheaper, yeah. But do you have to do 200 push-ups before you drive a real car, or only the video game?
Only the video game, dude, absolutely.
Yeah, only the video game.
I got a pass for the rest of my life.
There you go, you're done. You've done enough push-ups in your lifetime, I think, right?
Yeah, I do them every night.
There you go. But first, I want to quickly tell you about Dodge. There is one good thing that comes from daylight savings, and it's the Dodge Spring Sales Event. Dodge Charger, own the road and the pump with 300 horsepower and 30 miles per gallon. Dodge Challenger, take the streets by storm with the most affordable V8 in its class. The Dodge Durango, with all-wheel drive availability, April showers won't have your tires spinning unless you want to. Dodge Journey, maximize your adventures with the most powerful three-row all-wheel drive vehicle in its class. Hurry into your Dodge dealership and start your introduction to the Brotherhood of Muscle. We do this drifting thing. He gets out of the car and he's like, I drift better than you. Like, there wasn't even a beat. There wasn't even like a beat. He's like, so we figured out what's going on here. He's like, I can drift, you can't. And luckily for me,
I think I was a little better on the off-road course.
No,
there's something, there's something intimidating about that tabletop jump that I was just like, in my head, it was, if you don't go 100%, that's when you like break shit, you know, because I'm in my head, I'm always thinking who shorts the jump, right? In sports and skiing and everything.
Yeah.
And it's a lot different when you're out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and I know the natural feeling is, let me try this 50% and see where it goes from there. And my head was like, I just hammer down, just hit that tabletop and see what happens. And then, of course, you do it, and then you can't see anything. You're up in the air, nose is in the air, and then you get a little bit of this nose down. And you're like, oh, at some point I'm going to hit the ground. And then the second you do, two things are going to happen. You're going to be like, that's pretty crazy, or that's fun as shit.
You know, I love cars, but none of this shit sounds any fun to me whatsoever.
Well, once none I did it, I went with zero. Fun of shit, and I was hammering down on that thing.
The thing about the trophy trucks that I could never get was that suspension travel, right? So you're going in the corner, and then that side's dipping down.
Everything's independent, yeah.
Yeah, it, to me, I could never. I always felt like I was going to roll the truck, so I never felt it does. Like, you know.
And if you get a wheel in any sort of rut, and you feel that jolt, you feel like you just hit a curb, and the body tilts real far because whatever 10 inches, 13 inches, 20 inches suspension, and the body really leans almost to the point if you stuck your hand out the window you could touch dirt.
It feels like that,
you
for
know,
sure.
Like yeah. Like being in a boat but on top of the fishing tower. Like when I lived in Florida, we'd go fishing in the Gulf, and you know, as a kid I'd climb up to the top of the fishing tower. When you hit big waves, that thing leans down so far, you think you're 90 degrees.
Yeah, that's a good analogy for it. I think you're the. It feels way crazier than it
feels
probably,
way crazier.
Because that's what
does.
The guys would say is like, you're good. You're not even like a halfway to where that thing's going to turn. You know, yeah. But to me, I'm already flipped.
Once we went back and saw the footage, we're like, yeah, we didn't.
Because it's reference. You haven't felt that before.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
They know what's going on.
Yeah. Totally.
And then just to put the icing on the cake, part of their experience, by the way, is also you can shoot stuff. So we went out.
Nice.
You go
as
up
you're
there.
Driving?
Or you no, stop? No, that may be an option.
I don't
now.
Know. Maybe
may
I'm sure.
Expanded.
I mean, you know, these guys are pretty cool. Maybe they should build it into their thing. But
run an obstacle course with a gun.
Yeah. They partnered. They partnered with the
I don't know
shooting
what that
range,
range
people.
Called,
I forgot what it was called. And they have a couple of cars you can blow up as well.
Old taxis.
They have like old cabs you can blow up, but we didn't get a chance to do that.
Which I'm sure those taxis are so dirty, you're actually doing the world a favor
no
by
question.
Destroying that. Vegas right? taxis that are out of commission.
Do you remember what we shot when we were up there?
I don't. It was some sort of, not an AKM, but some sort of like AK fully automatic. We shot that. We shot like an MP5.
Yeah,
it was really
and
fun.
One of them was sort of this chain fed.
That was a belt fed. That was the AK
beige belt fed
style.
And we've got this slow motion shot of just recoil and then it's funny because I was shooting slow motion of Tyson and you see him like hat backwards and he's like shooting and then boom 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 and the shells are firing into the air and that. It's feeding in there, and then you just see this grin come up on his face, and then he's just like, you could not smile any bigger, and he's just like, boom, boom, boom. And we had a great time with these guys.
So
they're
great.
Just driving
firepower
cars.
Firepower and high horsepower.
That's
what a
it.
Great
and
combo.
Then we went back to Vegas with, you know, with our crew, and then, oh, this was great. So then we needed to film sort of a like a sit down section, like we need to have like a little conversation or something, and we didn't really plan ahead for this.
Would have been nice, maybe.
And I was like, where do you go in Vegas where you can get a view, at least the strip or something, and have some privacy? There's no place you can do it. And thank you so much. So much to our friend Aaron Hagar, Sammy Hagar's son. I do Shift and Steer podcast with them. Mm-hmm. They have the Cabo Wabo restaurant right there on the strip. And I call him and I was like, hey, man, I don't know if, like, can we get just like a quiet table or something at Cabo Wabo? And he's like, I'll call somebody
over
there.
Is there such a thing?
Turns out Cabo Wabo has a second level that they do like for private events or overage.
There you go.
And there was a full bar in there. We went up there. They had some tables set up. They had a full bar. The girl that was there, the bartender, waitress, she was there and she was assigned to us the whole time. We had the entire floor and awesome. It's all walls is glass. So you just look over the strip. So we were just sitting and then it just turned into like, we're just going to hang out here for a few hours.
Yeah,
we were just kicking
it. Do we need to shoot some today or what are we doing?
Like we were like four nacho plates into it. Yeah, we were like four nacho plates into that thing and a couple of cervezas later. We're like, it took us 5 minutes to film what we needed. 90 minutes later, we're like, thanks so much. This is really great.
Love that.
Hey, do you guys have any free T-shirts we can get?
So it was a great event. It worked out great. But I'm telling you, man, go out to Vegas. But this kind of brings me to the topic of like driving school stuff. Anything that you can do, and you don't need to spend $5,000 and do a 4-day course. Like, do
all you got to do is spend 80 something on a demon, and you get a free day at Bondurant.
That's right.
Because
we were talking about Bondurant school. That's going to be where we're going to hit up next. And yeah, if you buy a demon, they launch the demon driving experience or whatever. You can go there, but it's not just the road course stuff. They have a drag racing deal set up, so we want to go out there and do that as well.
Yeah.
Ran into the lovely Pat Bondurant, Bob Bondurant's wife. She's so much fun. She's worked with us.
She's awesome, man. Mm-hmm.
She's so much energy and so great, and Bob's great, but he's getting
great.
A little older, and so his memory of like today is a little not quite there.
Easy, so is mine.
But he remembers everything from racing back in the day, so he will just tell you epic stories of racing.
I love it,
and I know like his speech is a little slow. I think he had a stroke or something long ago, but he's in great shape. He's a smart guy. And he's a monster behind the wheel.
Oh, my
still,
God.
Still behind the wheel. Like, our guy Nate went out there and filmed with him. And Bob's like, I'll take you for a ride in, like, my GT40, you know, replica, whatever. And Nate was like, I'm never getting in the car with you again. And he's like, I know, pussy. Yeah, he had such a great time.
What a great experience.
It was such an amazing experience. So cool. So we ran into Pat, and she invited us back down to the school. But, like, I think anybody who's getting a driver's license, if you're a kid, you're a young boy, young girl, and you're getting your driver's license,
you gotta go.
You should go to one of these driving schools. Mm-hmm. You don't need to go to be to learn to be a race car driver. But if you get to do the skid pad car, which is the car that looks like it's on giant training wheels, mm-hmm. what that does is that car in slow motion simulates losing control, mm-hmm. oversteer, understeer, just spinning around so that the guy next to you, your instructor, can say, at 15 miles an hour, 20 miles an hour, go straight, and then I want you to turn left. And there's cones set up, and you just do a figure eight at 15, 20 miles an hour. You do a figure eight around the cones.
That's where you should start your drifting practice.
Right? I should.
Matt needs
and then
a lot of
he hits
needs
a button.
Lot of work.
When he hits a button, the training wheels go down, which lifts the car up and reduces traction mm-hmm. off of the tires.
Cool. Bitchin' experience.
So it feels like you're just drifting off course in the snow and you literally have no control.
Mm.
Right? So once you start figuring that out in slow motion, like every kid should learn at least that.
And totally. Every kid should also learn before they have a driver's license that the left lane is used for passing.
Yes.
Not for not
and demons.
Immediately getting on the frickin' highway and scooting over to the left, just hanging out on your phone.
Yeah.
You know, remember the movie Every Which Way But Loose?
Yeah.
The right turn Clyde
thing? Right turn Clyde. Mm-hmm.
I think I came up with this yesterday. Remember the guns that you used to have that had the darts that would come and they'd suction cup on your head?
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
I'm going to develop a gun with a business card on it, and I'm going to shoot everybody in the window and have it stick on their window that's in the fast lane going really slow, and it's going to have my business card to my Muay Thai gym, and it have an appointment on each one. And then at the end of the day or the end of the week, whatever it is, the line forms, and the door opens, and it's for one free punch in the face.
one free throat punch.
Yeah, absolutely. They just come in, hand me their ticket. I pop them once, good to go.
But
yeah.
Do you do the repercussions? Fake where you do like a fake high five, and you're like, hey, high five guy, judo chop.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
That's a good
hey,
way.
Great to see you.
That'll be the second or third time because I got to catch them off guard.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, ladies and gentlemen, please stay out of the freaking left lane if you're going like 20 miles an hour.
Yeah, totally. And I don't know about you guys, but the people that taught me to drive, like the driving school, I remember it was like Classic Motors or some BS, or like I got a Macy's. You know, I don't even have Macy's anymore.
But Macy's.
Like, who are these people that are teaching these young people to drive?
Like, the same people that are at the TSA, you know.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
No, you got to go. You got to go to these guys. You got to go to the professionals.
Please,
like yes. You know, for I don't know, $400 or $500. Maybe in the summer for like $399, you can do the half day school. Do it.
And every level too, from the beginners to the pros. Man, they've got everything out there. Whether you want to, you know, you want to go out in the Hellcats, yeah, or jump in the Viper, or now the Demon. Yeah.
And if you're a parent, like, what better thing to give your kid that they'll have fun? And well, they're also going to learn a ton.
You're investing in their life.
I'm saying, moms and dads, you want a fun little field trip for your kids, go do that together.
Absolutely.
Right? Totally. Right? Totally.
Like, go do that.
You're all going to learn.
Now, Gage, unfortunately, was, you know, in Mexico with dad, and he spun around when he was 7, so maybe he's scarred for life. But then again...
No, he drives with his mom every day, so that evens it out.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, you know, you had mentioned something about us going to Bondurant and doing the drag racing, the Demon gimmick. Here's the caveat. The caveat is, remember, I bought 2 Demons?
That's right.
So that's two trips, right?
Yeah.
So you know who's taking the second trip?
I don't know.
The Big W. She's going to emasculate both of us.
Wanda's going to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. See...
So it's not a competition between you and I anymore.
Everything I just said about a family trip, not if your wife's a professional stunt driver.
Exactly. She's going to kill both of us. Yeah. So I'm off in the corner. Hey, honey, I got to go run some errands. Bullshit. I'm down at the drag strip trying to figure out the demon so that I got to jump on her when we go.
Yeah, like this is – you should practice before you go to a driving school. Like maybe that's the thing. That's the tip for it.
Goldberg just on Forza all day, just practicing.
Absolutely. The sequence with the paddle shifters, you know, the launch control. I got to get that down.
God, I hope when you play, Gage walks in. He's like, I didn't see no push-ups. I didn't see those push-ups before you hit it.
You're giving away my secret. I got another box, another system up at the garage.
Oh, that's right. He doesn't go up there that much.
That's where I get my fix.
Yeah. Oh, man. Your place is fantastic, by the way. We need to go in there and just work out.
Absolutely, man.
He's got
work out on some cars.
Gym.
Really?
He's got a building, and it's just cars and a gym.
I mean,
that's what I do, man.
Right?
That's what I've done for the last 30 years of my life.
What I'm saying. Like, that makes more sense to me than half the shit I've seen and people roll in here with. It was like, your life is that, right? You love cars and you love, and actually, it's a little bit here, right? Like, Adam's got his cars and he's got a podcast studio where he makes his money.
It's my life,
right?
Man. I very much enjoy it. And I'm very lucky that, you know, it provides me the opportunity to do stuff like this because we're just having fun.
Yeah. Well, all right, well, out of time again. Guys, thank you so much. We appreciate you listening to the show. And again, if you get a chance to go on iTunes, give us a nice little review, a little comment, and give us a 5-star rating. We'd appreciate that. That helps us out.
I'd really appreciate it, and I won't have to come after you.
There you go.
Well, you give them one of those cards. One of your cards to come into your Muay Thai gym.
Exactly. Yeah.
That it has to be a mandatory appointment. It's like when you get pulled over and you're like, here is your court date.
Yeah. And you know what? It's all about repercussions. That's all it is. Yeah. I just want people to pay for the stuff that they do. That's it. In this world today, it doesn't happen.
We like bitch it. All the time about accountability. Like, come on, people, own up. Accountability. Mm-hmm. Right? I feel like...
Bingo.
Not to dog on millennials too much, but accountability should be taught in school now. Right? All right. So check us out at carcastshow.com and all of our social medias at Carcast Show. You can follow me at Motorator. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, all at Motorator. And Goldberg, he's got a couple of accounts.
At Goldberg and at Goldberg Garage on Twitter, and Goldberg95 and Goldberg's Garage on Instagram.
Tyson, what are you doing?
I'm just on Twitter. Is that what you're asking for?
You're on Twitter?
Yeah.
You're on Instagram?
Not so much on Instagram. Twitter. At Tyson Sullivan.
There you go.
That's
at
me.
Tyson Sullivan. Check him out. Follow him. Follow him. He's going to have some more TV, movies, all kinds of stuff going on. Mm-hmm. And we'll have you back in when you got more stuff in the works. We'll have you back in.
Honor and privilege.
Yeah, likewise, man.
Pleasure to meet you.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah, cheers.
I'm better off-road driving. Mm-hmm. All right. Until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
T-Mobile 5G internet keeps getting better. Boost your connection to harder-to-reach places with Home Internet Plus and get internet right where you want it.
With Wi-Fi that reaches the attic, I finally have a home office.
Get a free upgrade to T-Mobile Home Internet Plus while supplies last. Home Internet Plus starts at $50 a month with autopay in any voice line. Check availability at T-Mobile.com/home internet.
During congestion, customers on this plan may notice speeds lower than other customers and further reductions using greater than 1.2 terabytes per month due to data prioritization. After $20 bill credit plus $5 per month without autopay, debit or bank account required. Regulatory fees included for qualifying accounts. $35 connection charge applies.